Yay. Taylor, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, wonderful. How are you doing?
Very well.
Yay. I hope everyone listening to this is in good form, enjoying yourselves in this incredible and bizarre times that we're entering into and experiencing. So, yeah, I'd love it, Taylor, if you'd love to, if you're inspired, just to maybe guide us in a little inner journey, just to get us in the mood.
I'm kind of dealing with a little noise here in the background. I'm moving to a different place, so
All right.
Maybe it's not, maybe if you want to take over on that till I get
sure, to the spot. So let's everyone just take a few deep breaths. Just close your eyes and just take a few beautiful breaths. Notice a little smile on your face. And just notice how you are sitting or lying down or walking, whatever you are right now. Just notice if your posture is feeling good and alert, or whether you're a bit slouched right now. Just notice how you're sitting. And pay attention to the breath. Just notice, is your breath really deep and full, or are you breathing in a shallow way? Just bring awareness to your breath, however it is. And just notice where you're feeling best right now. Where is there a good feeling in your being? Just notice whatever part of your body, whatever part of your awareness is feeling good right now. And just enjoying that experience. And let's just all become aware that we are, in fact, eternal beings. We are immortal beings. And I want to ask you, how would it feel if you really, truly realized that you are immortal? How would an immortal being feel, an eternal being that's completely safe and secure and can never die? How would an immortal being feel? What does an immortal being feel like? What is the experience of being eternal, being endless? Just enjoying the silence. Just enjoying the breath. And let's just take a moment to remember why you joined this superhero training. Like, what is your intention? What is the reason for you being here? Why are you on this call? What do you really want? What is your intention? What is your vision? Just tune into the reason that you joined this training. What do you want to experience in your life? What do you want to become different? What do you want to be new and different in your life? What is your vision for 2012 and beyond as we move into these amazing times? Let's just take a moment to charge up that vision that you have, all of us together enjoying this new vision. Taking a breath and just seeing that, feeling it, hearing it. Just imagine you are in that new experience fully. How does it feel? What is new and different as you wander about in your new vision? Let's imagine we fast forward and manifest that right now. What would it be like? Let's just really enjoy wandering around, experiencing this fully, just for a few moments right here and now together. Anything is possible. We're all here to help each other manifest these things and charge it up. So just really enjoy that vision. Feel it fully. Think big. Allow yourself to be there fully. All your focus and energy just being in that beautiful reality that you're co-creating. We're all helping each other right now. Just really be in that end result that you are manifesting. Feel the future calling you. Imagine you've jumped into the future. Imagine 3, 2, 1, jump into the future and just be there just for a few moments just to cherish and enjoy that experience. Noticing other people are happy in the future with you, how you're feeling, what you're seeing, what you're doing. And just allow a beautiful big smile to come on your face. Take a deep breath, nice deep breath, nice big smile. And bring your awareness to this present moment. Yay. Uncle Nicholas, are you there, bro?
Yes, I am, brother.
Yay. How's it going?
Oh, I'm wonderful, bro. Deep, 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 deep peace.
Yay, what a blessing to all be here together. So, do either of you guys have any inspirations just to kick us off today? Any personal stories or experiences that you want to share?
We can both share a little bit. I'd like to share the contrast now, what I'm experiencing, the contrast between the level of peace that's available and the chaos in the world is extraordinarily intense at the moment. And what I'm personally experiencing is that just to be able to remove myself from the drama of life, the Muppet Show, the thing that's playing out, to remove myself from that and be able to just be in a higher state of consciousness is so exquisitely refreshing. And in the contrast, to come back in, if I can't maintain those high levels of consciousness, it's absolutely agonizing. Everything, all little things. I was in a health food store yesterday and I was just walking around and it was just like starkly, radically, starkly obvious that there was nothing in there. It didn't matter what I ate, what I bought from that place. He wasn't going to give me anything at all. And it was a really extreme experience, I felt. That had an acute contrast of it all. And I'm just feeling like the sensitivity levels are rocketing. And everyone in the world should prepare for this, because I feel here in Kauai, I'm not saying it's the only place in the world, but I know it's definitely one, where we kind of get the new energies coming in before they, you know, they go out into the whole world. And so that's just what I've been experiencing, the absolute necessity for inner peace and to maintain that state as much as possible. So I've been walking around with a lot with Gregorian chant going. Pandora Radio, Gregorian chant, Pandora radio station. And just having that going all the time just to keep me in this higher state of consciousness, because it's a cacophony of hysterical, chaotic insanity and madness in the world right now. The masses are losing the plot, and it's going to get acutely extreme. And so we have to, I'm just really, 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 really feeling that. Just being in, doing anything and everything to stay in higher states of consciousness.
Yeah, definitely, definitely big, massive contrast. And I feel, you know, we've basically got to become constant, aim for being constant in our practices and in our awareness, because this is what the time is calling us to do. And end of the day, we are all going to end up being constantly aware and awake and soul conscious anyway. So we might as well just take it on practically and start living it now, rather than having to be forced to do it later on. We just get on with it. This is what I feel. So, you know, easier ultimately that way. Taylor, any special inspirations from you?
Yes, well, speaking of massive contrast, I just got back from Las Vegas. And, you know, I went there over the Thanksgiving holiday for a big family reunion, of all places, Las Vegas. And, you know, it was really interesting because we went down into the heart of the whole happening city there at the Strip, it's called, where all the casinos and, well, everything really is going on. And it's, I think, I don't know, maybe like 2 miles long, but, I mean, there's probably more EMFs in those 2 miles than there is anywhere on the entire planet. And who knows what else? I mean, you know, it was just, and the whole thing was just completely surreal. I mean, I, you know, Jeff and I were walking around, and I felt like I was in some other, I really did feel like an alien. I just have to say that right off the bat. But what was really fascinating, you know, it's easy to be at peace, you know, if you're out in nature, kind of just enjoying yourself and laying on the beach and, you know, having a good old day. But what was really interesting was to be in this massive sea of humanity. Most I'm guessing, you know, I mean, the main object of most of the people there was gambling, possibly sex, high amounts of alcohol, and, you know, who knows what else, but. And I noticed just this complete ability to be in all of that, including like being in casinos around in large amounts of cigarette smoke and types of things where normally I would really not be at peace at all, and really just be completely at peace. And in a sort of, it really was just like being in some kind of surreal movie. And have appreciation for it, you know, and find beauty in it. And that was a new experience for me, because normally that would be something I would opt out on. But definitely, like, you know, when my family's like, oh, let's go to the casino, let's see what that's like, I would probably have said, you know what, I'm just going to stay at home. But In this case, I went because, you know, it was a family reunion and, you know, supposed to be with family. And, you know, and just looked for the what was really going on there as energy. And it was really kind of amazing, you know, to see the beauty in even that. And that really... normally before would have challenged me, but, you know, I was actually taking pictures. I mean, you know, that was pretty amazing that I was even taking pictures, because usually I would never even take my camera out of the bag. So, and just being with my family, it was a big family reunion, and just all the, just so much stuff, you know, all the various emotions and the ways people think and feel, and being, again, able to be at peace with that, even when people were really into major drama and upsets, to have compassion and appreciation and joy with it all, even when it was really what many might interpret as extremely dysfunctional and upsetting, you know, occurrences between family members. I just could see it all in a whole new way that really gave me so much more, appreciation for people and just what they, just being a human being in a physical form on this earth. You know, it's just that in and of itself, and everything people, you know, do and go through and are dealing with and come from, and I don't know, just, it was just to me like this, it was like a really good movie that I was in. And then I came home, and I looked back over and was like, wow, that was so surreal. I was like, I couldn't even imagine that I did all that in 9 days. And, you know, here I was back here in my own little cocoon again. And, you know, it was just... So I'm feeling that was a real... in a way, it was like a little... microcosm of the macrocosm of what's going on and how we can actually move through a lot of different things that perhaps, you know, we think could be challenging or maybe before challenged us, that with the right kind of perspective, it's not even about right or wrong, but just a shift in perspective, I would say. Because I just decided before I left, you know, I'm going to have this be the best time ever. I'm just going to have this be the best time ever. I'm going to find beauty and joy in all of it because, you know, it was happening. And it really went like that. It was just a complete flow of moving from one thing to the other almost without any huge peaks or huge valleys. There was something very balanced about the whole experience. And it wasn't at all a balanced experience. I mean, if you stood outside of it and looked, it was like all these extremes, massive extremes. But somehow through the whole thing, I had this experience of being very neutral, very balanced, and empowered by all of it. And I definitely contribute that to the energy that's available to all of us right now. Because it was clearly not something I would owe just to my own self. I really do have the sense of being carried and supported by the whole invisible world around me that, you know, I've marriaged in being of service to the whole. And it was a real demonstration of, like, kind of the red carpet ride you can have when you do that in any and all and the most perhaps challenging circumstances. And so, you know, that to me was a really, really exciting to experience.
Beautiful. Yeah, I think it's good for we have a little blast on that, Mike, before we move on, because it's extremely topical.
Absolutely.
Because I know you're a bit of a master in that as well. Brother Michael's been having to deal with the drama of life from his highest state of consciousness because he's done all his Raja Yoga. And so you're a bit of a master at that, mate, aren't you? What about the What about the way things are becoming more, you know, surreal right now, Taylor was saying, and I've definitely been experiencing that. From a soul conscious point of view, bro, you've always seen things as a little surreal, haven't you? So you're very familiar with it.
Yeah, you know, I've always just, like, when we understand the nature of reality actually, honestly, is a dream. You know, there's lots of, you know, writings about this from various mystical teachers and whatnot throughout history. The world is just a dream, a waking dream, and it's like a movie, it's like a dream world, you know. But in reality, it actually is that way. It's not a nice idea. This is actually what we're dealing with. We're already dealing with a very strange and surreal experience all the time. And it seems to me that what happens is as we start to experience ourselves as the witness, as the one who's watching our body wandering about and watching the mind, and there's like a level of freedom from things. As we go into that higher space and we kind of watch things happening in the flow,
mm-hmm.
you know, just like when you're driving a car, the car seems to somehow drive around and you just end up places. It's just sort of happening on its own. The whole of life starts becoming like that. And it's just this bizarre thing that we're enjoying, really, you know. And when we look back on our lives, if I said to anyone listening to this, you know, what did you do this time last week, which was Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving seems to us maybe like a bit of a strange dream memory now, which is only a week later, if you're listening to this live. Just a dream experience, like a memory, like it was a dream. And ultimately, the experience of things being a dream, when you wake up and you have a memory of your dream, when we start having this higher consciousness, it seems as if we're literally living in a dream, like a lucid dream, all the time. And everything is just slightly amusing. I like the word pleasantly amused. And I'm sure that's what Taylor was experiencing, wandering about in the casinos. I can only imagine being in those casinos. I would just be pleasantly amused, being like, oh my God, in the strange lights and strange noises and all these bizarre looking people. And do you know what I mean? It's like not bad, it's just bizarre, you know? So, you know, I feel that we're going on that level nowadays. So, yeah, that's how I feel it anyway.
It's very peculiar as well, the drama, the dream, very peculiar. It's like the great writers, you know, like Lewis Carroll, who wrote Alice in Wonderland, and what's his name, who wrote Lord of the Rings, Tolkien, you know, those guys, they communicated in the language of imagination and peculiarity, and the life, the dream that we're in is very peculiar. And as we become more and more soul conscious, we naturally purify that peculiarity. So I'd like Brother Michael and Taylor to share what their latest revelation is about soul consciousness. And I'll start with mine. So yesterday, my girlfriend, Kelly, who's 22 years old, and that's like 28 years younger than me, extremely emotional artist, is like doing ceremonies and really calling in and doing the power of God and doing loads of prayers and is cleansing all the time. She's doing this thing. She was absolutely losing reality last night. So I had to apply an emergency download so that she could, you know, stabilize herself, because she was in immense distress. And so this was my instant relief from all stress. Soul consciousness. Consider that the soul is the tiniest particle in existence. It's the tiniest thing, it's the lightest and the smallest particle of life. much smaller than an atom, much smaller than neutrinos, the soul is. So I taught her to think about that. And I realized that that's the refined experience. It's a very refined, a tiny particle. You imagine yourself as a tiny, tiny particle in life, in the infinite life. You're very, 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 very small, but you have everything in it. Everything. And all you have to do is think about that and breathe that and be that. And I told her that the seed knows what it is. And check this out. You'll love this one, Taylor. You'll love this one, Brother Michael. That she, because she was lapsing into her story, her drama, her sad melodrama from her sad childhood. And her physiology changes and she slumps and she goes into deep sadness. And in the Vedic astrology, it's the Scorpio moon now. So we just like any scorpionic influences, you know, very strong. So I say, look what you're doing. Look what you're doing. Change your physiology. Change the way you're breathing. And I said, I told her to stand on one leg and tell me her sad story standing on one leg. And she wouldn't stand up, so I said, okay. Now she said, can I, you know, rub my head? And I said, yeah. So I made her pat her head in circles and tap her stomach, and then she could tell me her sad story. And, of course, she couldn't keep it sad. So she was laughing and laughing and laughing, but she wanted to stay in the sad. And I said, okay, you can stay in the sad. But when you finished telling me your sad story, you have to go bark, 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 like a chicken and do an impersonation of the chicken. Because I want to change your neural associations, the way you represent that story neurologically to yourself. So she would do it then, and she'd tell me her sad story, and then she'd be the chicken. So it was a very powerful night last night because she got gifted with that contemplation, the soul consciousness, because she thinks she's soul conscious. And I told her, you have the theory of being soul conscious, but you don't have the experience.
Yeah, that's the best of it. You know,
yeah.
It's yeah, I actually get people to do something similar, is to jump up and down like a bunny with their hands in front of them. You know, you remember that one, yeah? Because you can't jump up and down like a bunny and tell your story with any length of time for any level of seriousness, you know? It's great, you know, as soon as everyone's like that, so let's just, and I jump up and down like a bunny with them, and we try and talk about the story, and it just, you know, you can get like about 25 seconds out of them, and then they start cracking up, you know. So, oh dear.
Yeah, baby. So, all praise to the On High. All praise to the On High. Let's just have a bit of traffic control here before we get into these questions, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
So, Brother Michael, just lead us in a bit of traffic control, bro.
So let's just, all of us, just make sure that we breathe gently and notice that your posture is wonderful right now and breathing gently and deeply. And becoming aware that we are these shining stars, like a tiny, tiny point. Just imagine a tiny, 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 tiny shining light. And if you go into this light, deeper and deeper into this light, brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and deeper and deeper and deeper, we just become merged in this light. and become inside an ocean of peace, an embodiment of peace, an embodiment, an ocean of bliss. And so just breathe in gently and imagine you are in an ocean of bliss inside this tiny point. Inside the point is this ocean of blissful light, ocean of bliss, ocean of pure bliss. Letting everything else dissolve into this ocean of bliss. Whole of life is contained in this ocean of peace, ocean of bliss. Deeper and deeper and deeper. Just breathing softly and sweetly, smiling gently. Just imagine this golden light absorbs your entire being. You're floating in this ocean of pure bliss. Just feeling the energy of the group, the energy from the Almighty, the ocean of bliss, the pure golden light flowing through powerfully, like a waterfall of powerful light. Just enjoying that beautiful light in the inhale, breathing in that light, and as you breathe out, just breathing out that peace all around you, in all directions into the world. So just breathing in that beautiful light deeper and deeper, feeling it flying into every single cell, every single part of our spiritual being, and then breathing that out, getting more and more relaxed. Just enjoying this breath with full attention just for a few moments. Connecting to the energy of the vortex of this powerful, powerful group of superheroes gathered here today. Just taking three deep breaths with full intention and power, really breathing in that light. And letting it flow out, connecting with the other superheroes and sending out those vibrations to the world around you. Enjoying that, and we're going to count from 0 to 5, and at 5 we're going to be alert and with a big grin and totally stoked and loads of energy. So we're just going to go now from 0, 1, little smile on the face, 2, nice little smile coming on, 3, more and more energy, more and more joy flowing through your being, 4 and 5, eyes open wide awake, totally stoked, big grin. And what a wonder it is to be alive.
God bless Brother Michael. God bless Brother Michael. Wonderful brother. Brother Michael, all the superheroes should know this. Brother Michael is the mouse in the teapot in Alice in Wonderland at the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. In case anyone wants to know the archetype of Brother Michael, when he comes out of the teapot, in a state of soul consciousness, and makes his appearance at the Mad Hatter's tea party, and then goes into the pot.
Yeah.
Usually asking, what time is it? Yes, Brother Michael.
Fun and games, fun and games.
Another thing about Brother Michael is, and myself, we can say this is for true for the both of us, is that we love the sisters, don't we, brother?
Absolutely.
And we love no sister more than Taylor Core. I would guess that.
Taylor.
Wow. Wowee. I was just going to ask, who am I in the Alice in Wonderland story, but I don't even need to ask that now. I'll take that one instead.
There we go.
I know who you are. Brother Michael, do you know who Taylor is?
No, I'm not sure, but I think you've got something in mind.
I think she's the Mad Hatter brother.
Yeah, I'm living with someone who seems to think I'm the Mad Hatter. She keeps calling me the Mad Hatter.
Yeah, Brother Michael's the Mad Hatter. Now, Taylor's always in the bath.
That's right.
Cindy, she could be the Dormouse, actually. You could be the Mad Hatter, and Taylor's got a float tank in the teapot.
That's right, she's just floating around. So we're all having fun at games.
That's how fun is it? She's going to kick everybody's ass before she goes back in the float tank.
Yay. Wonderful. So let's ask some of these questions. If any one of you listening has got any questions, just, of course, we love
you
asking.
You know, Michael, I know that last week Brett had wanted to follow up on his brother, and I guess...
Brett is around.
I don't know if you might want to welcome him to...
Yeah. I'd love to hear that.
I was
going to say, Brett, if you're on the phone, then we'd love to hear from you. If you just press *2, we can unmute you. And if you're listening on the computer, then just get on the phone and, we'd love to hear from you, from your experiences. A month ago, I think it is now. Oh, look, he's there we are. All right, here we go. Brett, are you there, bro?
I'm here. How are you?
Yeah. All right, wonderful, stoked. Lovely to hear from
you.
All
right.
So
Taylor, thanks for bringing that up. I wasn't sure if I was going to get the chance to share tonight, and I was actually just throwing a little bit of food in the oven, so let me just throw that in there one sec here. Some sweet potato fries have become some of my favorite food lately. So it was a few weeks ago now that I asked the question about forgiveness on the topic of, should I and would it benefit me to contact the person who was driving the car that crashed, in which my brother died in that event, to tell him that I forgive him for that. And the quick background is that event took place a little over 11 years ago. And, one of the things I realized is that I had not spoken to this person at all in those 11 years.
Wow.
Yeah, his name's Brad, and it wasn't because, it wasn't because I hated Brad, it wasn't because I disliked Brad, it wasn't because I blamed him for everything, or at least not that I was aware of. For example, he didn't intentionally do anything that resulted in my brother's death. It was a car accident. They were friends. It was not his intention for my brother to die, so I felt like I wasn't blaming him or, hating him or anything like that. I was afraid. I hadn't processed my brother's death really much at all in those first 10 years. I came to realize, and actually Nick definitely helped me to realize that, because I had fooled myself for a while into thinking I had processed it and was quote-unquote over it, and then suddenly realized, no, that's not the case, and I certainly have not processed it. And, you know, there was a time I can recall just a couple of years ago. I live in Colorado now, and this all occurred. We grew up in Massachusetts, and I was visiting Massachusetts a couple summers ago. And I think it was at a concert, and it was outside the concert, and there was a big group of people, you know, a very large crowd of people for the concert, and I saw Brad off maybe 100 yards away, you know, talking with another group of people. And I was heading, I was walking in that direction, and I saw him, and I was just kind of fear-stricken when I saw him, and I found myself just turning and walking the other way. And I found myself, I didn't know at the time if it was fear or what, but it was an indescribable feeling that, you know, I didn't know what I would say to him, how I would feel. I had no idea what I would say to him. At that point, I didn't know what to say or feel, and didn't know what I was feeling, and just felt forced to turn and walk the other way. And, you know, for no real reason, you know, again, I didn't hate him or blame him or these things, but I was just in a bad place. I was in a very bad place with it. My brother was extremely close to me when he was here, and, I mean, he still is close to me, but we were just very, very close siblings. And his sudden death in a car crash literally tore my life apart. And that doesn't mean, those words don't even do it justice. I mean, it tore my life apart. It tore my family apart. It was just devastating, like nothing even close that I had ever experienced. And I was in a bad place, and I didn't know how to handle it, really, I guess is what it comes down to. So, you know, through doing a lot of work in the past years, a lot of reading, a lot of studying, a lot of reflecting, a lot of guidance I've received from the superhero training, which I love you guys for, and studying the concepts of forgiveness. David Wilcock definitely talks about it as well, and I was just coming into a place of a deeper understanding of it, and then that's the question I asked a couple weeks ago or a few weeks ago on a Thursday night call, is I said, I want to understand forgiveness even deeper, and this is how it applies to my life, and, you know, is this something that I should do, that I would benefit from, etc. So the resounding answer was yes. Nick gave me a very strong yes. I would recommend doing that. And then Taylor elaborated on a response to that as well. And so I did. And actually, at the time that I asked the question a few weeks ago, I had already actually emailed Brad. I didn't have his phone number. I mean, I hadn't talked to him in 11 years. But I was able to look him up on Facebook, and I sent him an email saying, hey, you know, it's been a long time, et cetera, et cetera. I'd like to speak with you. And if you're okay with that, please send me your phone number. And I wasn't sure if he would or not, because who knows where he was at with it. I imagine if I was in his shoes, I might have been maybe a little frightened or uncertain if to be contacted by me, and he didn't know if I was going to be angry at him or what. And several days had gone by, and the superhero call came when I asked the question. He had not responded to my email yet, so I was kind of afraid maybe I wouldn't even get the chance to get his phone number. And then sometime after I asked the question and had the response from you guys on the call, he did respond, and he actually sounded pretty excited in the email to hear from me and said, yes, I would definitely like to talk to you. Here's my phone number. So we got on the phone eventually after a little bit of phone tag, and we got on the phone, and it really was a wonderful thing. And it's kind of hard to describe, but we spoke for 2 full hours. We talked about a lot of things, not just my brother Drew and everything regarding that. We caught up on each other's lives. I mean, it had been 11 years. Brad was 17 years old when the car crash occurred, so he's now a grown man at 28. He's married. He's got a little daughter. He's a business owner, et cetera, et cetera. So we caught up on life. And then, of course, we discussed, you know, everything regarding, you know, what happened with that night and what each of us have gone through since then. And hard to describe the feelings, but I think I can safely say, I mean, I've never experienced such a weight being lifted off my shoulders. And this was just such a new experience for me, emotionally and spiritually and everything. And yeah, even just thinking about it now, I mean, I can feel it, but it's hard to put into words what I feel. Definitely, simply put, a huge, huge weight being lifted off my shoulders, even though, you know, I was telling him I forgave him, that I forgive him, which I know lifted a huge weight off his shoulders because that was his response, and he told me that. You know, and it was kind of amazing, you know, because it, you know, kind of seemed like, well, I'm giving the forgiveness to him, which I would clearly expect to lift the weight off his shoulders. And it was amazing the way it made me feel and the way it lifted this enormous weight, like a weight that I didn't even fully realize was there, was now being lifted off of me in an indescribable manner.
That sounds awesome,
right?
Yeah, I can relate, bro. That's a big big thing you're doing like that. That's awesome, and it's good that you felt so good and that it was all come about naturally. And, yeah, it's good times, mate. Soul healing. Deep soul healing. So one thing I wanted to say to you, right, is this year, when we were all sharing at the beginning, me and Taylor and Michael, and I was telling the story about my girlfriend, Kelly, and how I was getting her to change her physical, what she was doing with her physical body, and Brother Michael was as well with the white rabbit, and then telling the story. And that's, you know, that's one thing you can always advise people now, because you've lost your brother, or anyone that loses anyone close to them, and then is able to talk about the most worst painful part of it completely in joy. That's when you know you've removed the emotional wound of it all from you. And it's a tremendous achievement. You know, it's a tremendous achievement. And only people that have been absolutely brutalized by life and then can, you know, experience through the forgiveness to that degree, their own healing, you know, we're the only ones that can, you know, relate to that. People that haven't been deeply wounded, you know, can't even really relate how miraculous it is. It's a huge thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. And that's it's so accurate, because years ago, before I even knew what the word spirituality meant, and before I knew half of what I know now about life, I was someone who couldn't relate to that. I couldn't relate to, you know, people having spiritual awakenings and major breakthroughs and transformations in their life. I was like, what are you talking about? I had no idea. And Nick, I remember, it was a long time ago, years ago now, I used to get some of your material through Francesca years ago, and long before I was in superhero training, and it was a long time ago I first heard you say that we all need an impossible wound to heal. And I didn't even know what that meant when I first heard it. You know, I couldn't relate to that. I really didn't even know what that meant. And now I've lived it. And I didn't expect that to happen to me or for me. You know, I was one of those things like, wow, I mean, that sounds great, and I'm sure that's great for people who go through it, but I don't really see how or when or why that would happen to me. And it has, and I've lived it, and I now know it. And it's amazing. And overall, I'm just so grateful for it because I've grown so much. I'm such a different and stronger person as a result of all this. And that's one of the things you said to me, Nick, as well, is, you know, are you ready to accept this gift? You know, there's a time where I couldn't relate to that either. Like, what are you talking about, gift? And again, now I've lived it. And now it is a gift. Now my perception of it is that of a gift that I have benefited from massively. And it's just been amazing, such an amazing experience. This whole thing overall has been a more amazing experience than honestly I ever thought I would have in my life. I mean, I've had amazing experiences. You know, I love to climb mountains and go skiing and do all these exhilarating things that I love. But, you know, for a long time in my life, that was the max. That was, you know, that was, for me, that was an amazing experience. And now, I mean, this just dwarfs everything. Not to say that going skiing is no longer fun, because of course it still is, but now it's just, I'm just at a different level. My life experience has now broken through to a whole new level that I never really thought or expected I'd ever experience. And now that I have, it's just simply mind blowing. And I'm grateful for it. It's been indescribable.
Yay.
Yeah, you know, Drew, yeah. I mean, Brett, I just really want to congratulate you and acknowledge you for, you know, not only really just taking that on and looking for Brad and moving forward with that, but, you know, the expression, the truth shall set you free, is really what took place in that interaction, and not like there was some lie or, you know, some like not truth that got told or expressed.
Right.
But it really, you know, the way I like to look at that is when you speak from your heart, that is the truth. And that's what you both had the opportunity to do. He with you and you with him. And that, you know, like you said, you didn't really know that there was anything that needed to be lifted, you know, from you. Or,
right.
I mean, certainly one could imagine there was something for him, but, you know, that's really inconsequential, because when you speak the language of your heart, which is the truth, you are free, and you do free others. And it is the most exhilarating experience there is. There isn't any better high, you know, so to speak, or exhilaration or feeling as a human being than that.
Yeah.
And I really just, you know, appreciate you sharing, you know, taking that on and also coming back to share on the call with others, because it's just really inspiring, and what a great gift you did give yourself and Brad and your brother and he gave you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just indescribable. I mean, it's really hard to put something of this magnitude into words that do it justice. But just wonderfully amazing. And I want to acknowledge and thank the three of you, because you all definitely helped me and guided me towards it and through it. And you know, I did a lot of work on my own as well in the past couple of years. And that work I did really put me in the perfect position for superhero training to come into my life when it did. So it's all been perfect.
Yay.
Yeah, it's
all
been
perfect.
Welcome.
It's definitely an honor.
Say that again, Trey. Yeah, so thank all of you. Thank all of you for everything you're doing, everything you've done, everything you continue to do, and I'm blessed to be a part of it, and I'm loving it.
Beautiful.
Wonderful. Yay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, beautiful. So should we just have a look at some of these questions from everyone?
Yay.
Got one from, Nancy Davis. She's asking, why is clearing, straightening, and getting rid of things such a powerful manifestation tool? What goes on in the universe when you do this? Well, I'll just answer that briefly. Essentially, when we mention this, there's many levels of getting rid of things, but I think you're referring to getting rid of physical things. So in our environment, like if I look around where I'm sitting here, there's books and bits and pieces and folders and furniture and clothes and random things. And everything is made out of energy. Everything is just energy. And a lot of the things, physical things in our life, are essentially useless, dead energy. So if you have books around that are not high-vibe books or books that you've never read and never intend to read, it's kind of just dead. It's almost like it's draining your energy just having it around. If you've got clothes that you never wear, they're just sitting around just getting dust on them, they're draining energy. They're dead energy. It's useless. You know, it's junky. So when we look around our life and think, is this the best ever? Is this the best ever? Is this the best ever? Where is the stuff that's just unnecessary? And we just move that out. It's like creating more light in your life. You know, it's like adding, it's pumping up the vibrations. It's clearing out the cobwebs. It's just like, imagine if you went away, left your house for a year and came back and it was full of insects and cobwebs. And you cleared out all the insects and cobwebs and got it all done and repainted it would feel completely different. So that energy, just doing that brings a lot of joy and brings a lot of freshness. And it also clarifies what's important to you as well, because you get to bring consciousness. Taylor and Jeff and I went through this house where I'm living now for a month, didn't we, Taylor? A month,
yeah.
Solid. Month solid. Every single thing in this house was space cleared, was looked at, was brought consciousness to. Skylights were cleaned, windows that no one had ever got to right at the top were cleaned. All kinds of stuff was just, it was an amazing experience, wasn't it, Taylor?
Amazing.
Yeah. And so just doing that is a massive upgrade in your life because you're freeing yourself from dead, stagnant energy. And then the benefit of that is, one, that you just feel so much better and you alleviate all this energy. But the other is that you open the door to new things. You know, that's what I find most fascinating, is that if I was to get rid of 50% of everything I own today, it would basically be opening the door to a bunch of new stuff that's better. in most cases, the most days, you do it in the wrong way with the wrong intentions and a careless, that's different. But if it's consciously done, you're opening the door because there's always stuff coming in. But, you know, you can imagine, if imagine you have a pot of a jar of, say, beans and it's full to the top. You can't add any more beans to that jar because it's full. So when you get rid of stuff in out of your house, you're opening up space to allow things in, but they can't come in if it's already full of junk. So it brings joy and it also brings in new energy. And so, and also it makes it clear to you what is important for you, because just the fact of looking at things and making decision, is this the best ever, do I need this, just asking that question is tapping back into your purpose, tapping into your reason for being alive, and aligning every single thing in your life with your mission, with your destiny, with your dharma. And just the act of doing that brings so much power and clarity that, you know, so there's multiple levels of power and joy and benefit connected to it.
Yeah, I'd like to add to this, because this is one of my favorite topics, being a Virgo and everything. You know, cleaning. I love cleaning.
Yeah.
And, you know, cleanliness is next to godliness, so they say. They also say that God is in the details. And lastly, they say that all spiritual evolution is bringing consciousness to that which is unconscious. And like Michael was saying, most of what makes up people's homes is unconscious. You know, you know, when was the last time you looked at every single thing in a drawer, every single thing in your closet? I mean, you know, one of the reasons I love to go away, like on this last little jaunt to Las Vegas, even though it was only 9 days, you know, whatever, but you become a different person, and I'm in a whole different, all these odd, strange environments, you know, all these odd things. And then I walk back into my house. It's like, what? What's this? You know, what is all this stuff? I mean, every single time I go away and then come back, I'm coming back a different person, and I realize when I come back that everything needs upgraded. Everything. Like, whoever I was that left is not the same person now that's walking in. And I love that. And I challenge myself to just take that on, like, when I come back here, I'm going to have to just relook at everything all over again. And choose, do I really want this in my life? Do I need this in my life? Does this support me? Is this 100%, like Michael was saying? And I find there's no quicker, if you're wanting to manifest something, you know, back to Nancy's original question, and stuff is not moving in your life, the fastest way to get stuff moving is to clean, is to move the energy in your home. And like Michael said, you know, getting rid of things makes room for new things to come in. But and to do such, and to do all that activity with the intention for such, you know, like I always like, before I'm going to clean anything, I like to actually create intentions. Like, for this next hour, well, I mop the porch and, you know, clean the floors, clean the windows. All that energy output is going to result in, you know, whatever it is I'm wanting to come in. And it happens every single time. I mean, count honorably. I remember one time this woman who's like the she's the world leading feng shui expert in London. And she was doing a course. She was actually doing a natural, she was hosting a natural qi movement course in London. And you know, she called me a week before the course, and I said, "Oh, well, what's happening?" You know, because I was going to get my airline ticket, you know, make sure everything was on for it. And she said, "Well, I really haven't had a chance to focus on it yet, but, you know, I'm sure it'll all turn out. We'll have a lot of people there. Don't worry about it." I'm thinking, what? I mean, it was like, you know, like 2 weeks away. I'm thinking, she hasn't had, you know, I was a little concerned. But, you know, we decided to go anyways because she seemed like she knew what she was doing. Well, anyways, we arrived there, and I think it was away from the course, and she had done nothing. She had done nothing for this course. We had this big venue booked, you know, like 100 people, and And again, I, at my personality level, was a big concern, but I noticed she had zero concern. Like, there was no concern whatsoever. So I just went with that, because that seemed like a better thing to do than what I was thinking. And then a week before the course, she said, all right, I need to focus on the natural chi movement course now. You know, we were also staying in her home. And I expected her, you know, to get on the phone or, you know, I don't know, this was like pre-email. I figured she'd just call everyone she knew and have them come there. Or, you know, I don't know what she was going to do. And all she did was clean. And I said, well, okay, would you need help with that? You know, do you want me to make some phone calls? And she said, I'm not making phone calls. She said, I'll make phone calls to make things happen. I clean. If you want to help me do that, yeah. And so we spent, you know, like a number of days just moving things, cleaning things, clearing things out. And each time she'd say, all right, you know, this will fill up, you know, this course. And she had others, you know, four or five other courses she was filling at the same time. And at the end of the week, she had 150 people in that course. And all she did was clean. And I'm not saying all, like, you know, it was no big deal. But, you know, it was really a potent demonstration of the ability to manifest and use energy in your own space to do it. And never do anything that looked like equal or that would might equal to the logical mind filling up a course. And I so love that demonstration. I've used it ever since, over and over and over again. And there's absolutely no doubt that if you want to make something happen, if you want inflow, then move the stuff in your physical universe around with consciousness and intention, and it will happen.
Well, can I tell you what I've just been doing?
Mm-hmm.
I've just been mopping the floor. I washed the whole floor up top in my pad while you were talking there. I got a shiny floor now with my squeezy mop.
It's true, brother.
I didn't even know you had a squeegee mop, Nick.
Yeah, I don't even know where it came from. It could have been yours and Jeff's because it was like, it's amazing. I put the mirror up today, Brother Michael. I put that mirror up. You know, you could get a big mirror for that.
Yeah.
You know, the wall there as you walk in.
Right.
Got a beautiful shiny mirror, bro. I want to show you.
Yeah, I'm going to come up and have a look.
Hey,
perfect.
I want pictures.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And to be honest, like, next to, like, being in bliss, my second favorite thing is getting rid of stuff. I actually, it brings me more joy to get rid of books and clothes and projects and pieces of paper and, like, delete stuff off the computer and all that stuff than anything else. I feel so, so good every time I do that. It's just unparalleled. And there's nothing like it. So, yeah, I think...
It's so true. And you know, it's also such... And it's a huge well-being enhancement. Physical well-being. All levels are enhanced.
Yeah.
All levels. It's like, you know, it's like a cleansing, you know, an internal cleanse. To do an external cleanse on your home and your living environment. I love it. I mean,
hallelujah.
It's just, you're right. I'm so into it that, you know, I only have one house, and I love it so much that now I've expanded it to other people. That's why, you know, when I came to your house, Michael was like, oh, a whole new house to clean.
Yeah,
or, you know, I get Nick's car. I get Nick's car, and Jeff and I, like, the peak of one weekend was Nick went away. You know, we took him to the airport, and we drove him down in his van. And he's like, okay, he went to Big Island. He's like, okay, you know, we'll come and pick you up. And the most exciting activity that we spent the entire weekend doing was cleaning Nick's van while he was gone. It was like the best weekend ever. We took pictures. I mean, we were so into it. Like, we dreamt about, like, what we'd do the next day, and, you know. We had, like, a whole, you know, you do this, you do that. I mean, it was like the best weekend ever.
Yeah, what a blessing. Yeah, huge upgrade. So worth it. So worth it. You know, if anyone's thinking I haven't got time to clean my space, I haven't got time, that's got to stop right now, 100%. Because, you know, we can't be living our lives in a messy, dirty, cluttered junkyard.
Well, furthermore, you know? It will give you massive amount of time and energy.
Yeah.
Whatever time you spend on that project will come back to you multiple levels.
Yeah, it saves so much time. These are things that people often don't talk about, but these are the little secrets, you know. And end of the day, if you're on the superhero training, everything we've been sharing with you, getting up early, doing the meditations, doing the breathing, changing the way you eat, eating less, all these little things we've been on about, every single one of them has an impact, has an effect, you know. And I was hearing from some of the different people what's going on for them in their lives, and some people are making amazing changes in their life and having massive breakthroughs. Other people are feeling stuck. And I guarantee you, the people feeling stuck are the ones who haven't been applying these little things I've been mentioning. So if any of you guys are feeling a little bit low, a little bit stuck for any reason, just go back to what we've been recommending and actually apply it, and you'll see it happen. I mean, it sounds really obvious, but these little details like clearing your space, breathing, stopping every hour, they all have massive power, you know, and it's up to each of us to actually apply them, apply them, apply them, apply them. That's how it works, isn't it?
That's right.
Yay. So, go for it. If any of you, you know, and by the way, you can clear your space as much as you want. I mean, it's not that it's something you do like once a year or something. You can get rid of 20% of your stuff every week if you wanted to. You know, you'd become very, very refined. You know? So there's no end to it. There's no like limit. You shouldn't do it too often. You can do it as much as you want. I mean, if you become neurotic and like, obsessive compulsive, then I would be questioning it a little bit, to be honest. But other than that, go for it, you know.
Thank you, Brother Michael. Thank you.
Pleasure.
So more questions?
Yeah, so we've got a question here from Pashi, our lovely sister in Brisbane. She's saying, aloha, Dr. Nick and Brother Michael. I love... Yeah, she's great. I love all your AM and PM rituals, as they've made quite a difference in my well-being. Of late, I've observed that after my morning rituals of sun gazing, meditations, rebounding, yoga, I consistently feel sleepy, regardless of whether I've had breakfast or not. I've been re-stimulating myself with a strong coffee, but today I decided to go back to bed. I slept for an hour and woke up refreshed. My question is, are these rituals making me overly relaxed? I do sleep enough regularly from about 10 to 11 to 5 a.m. I look forward to hearing your thoughts in advance. Much love, Pashi.
Well, nothing bad is happening, that's for sure, if you're practicing what we're giving you. And I think you're doing fine. And I would say, if you need to know what blood type you are. If you're an A blood type, coffee is kind of like a good thing for you, just a little bit. But if you're not, you're probably better off switching off coffee onto some like, you know, cacao thing. You know, something with herbs and, you know, milky and creamy if you like it like that, and warm. And that'll be better for you in the long term than coffee, for sure. And if you want to sleep in, go back to bed sometimes and sleep in. I think you do. If you're doing a lot, which you should be, if you're on the superhero training, then your quiet, silent, recuperative nap time is a really important part of it. If you weren't doing anything at all, and you're having lots of naps and you just kind of be lazy. But because you are on the superhero training, you can understand that the nap, your being calling for a nap is for integration of a very powerful process, because you're becoming a superhero. That's what's happening, you see? It's like a metamorphosis. It's like the bug, the grub, the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. One thing doesn't know what it is, and it has to go to sleep, you know? That's what pupation is, and metamorphosis involves that. So sleep is a very, very, very good thing. And, yeah, just have those power naps when you need them, and then charge and keep charging. And be in your own rhythm, you know, be in your own rhythm about and try and get up really early in the morning if you can and become soul conscious. And the easy way to do that is just to think about the smallest particle in creation, smaller than atoms, smaller than neutrino, very, very, very bright light with everything in it. That's what it is, and that's what you are. So you just think about that early in the morning. And have a nap when you want to have a nap.
I would also just add to that that sleep is the fastest way to heal and rebalance ourselves. And like Nick is saying, you know, if you've just done all that, you know, you've done the meditation, you've done this, you've done that, and then you feel tired, well, you know, just go for it. You know, even just if it's a matter of time, then just set the timer, give yourself 15, 20 minutes or whatever it is, and allow that level of you know, rebalancing to occur. And also, you know, with this change in the season, it's not unusual. You know, as we move into winter, autumn and winter, there's more of a going within, more of a... You know, everything in nature is resting more and relaxing more, and it's also just really natural to, you know, as it's getting darker, you know, more of the day.
She's in summer season in Australia.
Oh, okay. Well, it doesn't really matter. I mean, either way, it's a change of season, and the body needs to make those shifts. So whether you're in summer or whether you're in winter, anytime there's a season shift, it's not unusual to find yourself, your sleeping patterns shifting also.
But thanks for asking the question, and we are your friends, you know, Brother Michael Taylor, myself, we are your friends, so we can, let's sing that little song to her. Winter, spring, summer, or fall. All you got to do is call and we'll be there. Yes, he will. Hey, ain't it good to know you got superhero friends? Cleaning, we love it.
Yeah. It's beautiful, you know, if you need... The body has these rhythms of energy and then less energy and energy and less energy. It's perfectly natural. So I think this is just a general policy for superheroes, is that if you're feeling like you need a little bit of a rest, just take a 22-minute nap or a little nap, rather than stimulating yourself with coffee and chocolate and whatever else. Just have a little nap, and then you'll be stoked. You know, I think it's good to acknowledge the rhythm, and rather than forcing ourselves against it with stimulants, just to go along with it. And then we're good, you know, and it'll go back up again.
Soul conscious naps, bro. Soul conscious naps,
yeah.
Please.
Yeah, yeah. I have, this is what I do. I have these 22-minute naps. I'm not sure why they're exactly 22 minutes. It just feels right to me. And I don't intend to fall asleep. I intend just to be in the world of divine light for 22 minutes. And sometimes I fall asleep and sometimes I don't, but it doesn't matter. I feel stoked when I wake up, and then I carry on with my day. And it feels like I did a lot of good inner work, and I feel very refreshed, and it's great. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. I find using naps, like that same intention, like maybe I'll fall asleep, maybe I won't, are some of the best times for downloads. of divine information occur then? Because you're kind of in this in-between place, and, you know, you wake up not long after that, and so it's a real opportunity to really just open to receive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's great. And we got another, got a few questions from Dorothy about breathing, and I was thinking we could answer those and put them with the breathing download, so we can have all those questions together with the breathing. But if Nick wants to just say a few words now, then that's fine as well.
What about the breathing?
She's just asked a lot of questions, but I'm just thinking rather than having them hidden away at the end of these calls, we could put them specially, do a special audio and just ask everyone all their questions about breathing and then just answer them all in one go. So anyone who has any questions gets the whole thing, and then it'll be more effective.
One real quick thing I'd say about breathing is that the breathing, you should be breathing within this chest, without burning, focus, purpose, certainty, intuitive conviction, that burning breath. They call it the Ujjayi breathing in Ashtanga Yoga. Ujjayi means victory, great victory, Ujjayi breathing. And you just concentrate, you don't let your mind wander off the breath. And if you can do that and be soul conscious all the time, just that tiny little particle of existence, then life becomes a lot easier. And you just float along. And it is possible to live a very magical, wonderful life every day, forever and ever and ever. But it doesn't happen on its own. We don't stumble aimlessly into it. We have to practice these things. Deeply, deeply, deeply.
Yeah, I've got another question from Dorothy about, I've been having difficulty with eating less. Eating is probably the hardest part of the program for me. Any advice?
Well, if you're eating a lot, just try and eat good stuff. If you've, you know, if you're hungry, if you're pounding it down, there's nothing wrong with that, especially if you're active and training, you know, and exercising and working, moving around. But, you know, as long as your digestive system's handling it, and you just got to make the changes that suit you, you know, and just make sure you're eating healthy stuff, good healthy stuff.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about it. It ebbs and flows. Sometimes I'm eating a lot. Sometimes I'm not eating much at all. Some people need a lot of food. Some people don't need much. You know it can change, so don't worry about that.
No, don't worry about it. And, you know, just one thing you might want to try is eating, you know, very consciously, not, you know, watching any television, or I'm sure you're not doing that anyway, but, like, eating, just eating by yourself, maybe listening to some music or something, but you're just there with your food, fully focused on the food and eating it, and try and eat it slowly, and chew it well, and that generally, when you have that consciousness when you actually eat, and you really enjoy what you're eating, and taste it, and chew it, and enjoy it, you end up eating less anyway, because there's more awareness. Whereas when we unconsciously and just stuff it down, it can lead to more eating, you know? So that's just a way, if there is any reason you want to eat a bit less, that'll probably be a nice way just for you to do it.
Hey, Taylor and Jeff are good, really good fasters. They can go on juice for ages. Taylor's really hardcore. She don't even hardly eat anything. I'm a bit of a foodaholic. I've been for ages, forever really. And it's good to know that the food is an emotional substitute, mainly when you really get down to it, because, you know, like, I definitely would confess to being a foodaholic, but I hardly eat anything now compared to what I used to. I used to absolutely be like a total Viking, but now I'm like a little bird comparatively. And it's an interesting thing because it is basically emotional nourishment. That's what I'd honestly say. And you need nutrition. Your body needs nutrition. And it doesn't necessarily need a volume of food. That's kind of one of the ego's lies. And the food addiction is massive, 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 massive. And it's a good thing for superheroes to get on top of that addiction because, you know, the American economy is no secret. Like the European economy is tied into a fascinating machine. There is the invention and creation of very powerful people, and that machine runs on exactly the same principle as electricity and electronics, electrical systems. And that system is grinding down, grinding, shredding the people that are caught in it. So it's a very, 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 very good idea to downsize the consumption and get smart with the consumption and be able to live on minimal optimal. If Taylor or me, and probably Brother Michael as well, had to walk 100 miles with just a bag of spirulina and some water, we could do it. But could you know, who's listening, could you? Superheroes could do that. So it's a good thing to think about. Overconsumption, eating, pounding massive amounts of food is not sustainable. So, from someone who loves their food and knows exactly how to pound, I can live on next to nothing, really.
Yeah, and not only is it not sustainable, it's not even natural. You know, we're seduced into thinking because it's all around us and it's so available that eating is something to do, you know, all day long and all night long and, you know, restaurants and all this stuff. But, you know, I've been reading this book of what constitutes the people that live the longest in the world. And to the person, each one eats very simply. And, you know, maybe two meals a day, but very simple, simple meals. And they're meals. It's like they have breakfast and then they have lunch and then they're done. And there isn't this all day long, you know, and then they go back to the fields or they go tend their sheep or... And we're in a civilization, we've just kind of are now in a world which isn't natural, which is to have constant food intake. And your digestion takes more energy than any other process in the body. So, and most people, if you look, are eating all day long or drinking something. So just to have the concept that you're, you know, giving yourself, your body, a break, and that alone will give you massive well-being and energy by only having a few meals a day. And, you know, these the oldest living people of all time, in two of the regions of the world, one of the prayers they would say before dinner or before any meal was, please, have me only eat, that I won't eat until I'm full. You know, that's this idea of going away from the table.
Yeah.
Hungry, to be hungry. It's like Steve Jobs, you know, his last words were, stay foolish, stay hungry. There's something about being hungry and not, you know, I know there are those times where, eating is until you're full is just what you want to do and is all good and well. But as the normal practice, being hungry is extremely potent way to be in life, and it's how most things in nature are. Most of the natural world is hungry. And so I think it's just a concept, you know, like maybe you could ask yourself the question before you eat, like Nick was saying, are you really hungry? Because probably you aren't. It's either a habit or just because it's around, or because, as Nick pointed out, it may just be an emotional, it's a way to fulfill your emotional state. But probably you aren't hungry. I would be surprised, you know, if you really are hungry, if you're overeating.
Often we're thirsty. Often we're thirsty and we mistake it for we require, you know, dehydration. We need hydrating. So it'd be a good idea to actually, you know, just do liquids sometimes and, you know, keep sipping on those liquids and do a liquid fast for a bit and break that overconsumption pattern.
Yeah, super important. I mean, to be honest, like, I don't know exactly what's going on nowadays in terms of energy, but I really feel just the need to eat one meal a day, and I'm totally fine with that, you know. I didn't used to. I used to have two or three meals a day, and I just don't feel the need. And I think the only real difference for me is that I've been consciously doing more mantras and being more soul conscious. And I just feel so stoked nearly all the time that I just don't feel the need to eat anything. And I really believe that this eating mostly is just purely emotional thing, and genuinely an emotional need, not a physical need. And so I think, you know, I would recommend more mantras, more just feeling good in yourself, and it'll just naturally, like, I haven't done anything on purpose. I'm not forcing myself to eat any less. I'm not trying to do anything at all. I just honestly don't feel like eating. So I think it's good when it happens naturally and it's not forced, and it's just like, you know, why should I eat now? I don't need to. You know, you just drink more liquids, drink more, you know, like, you know, pure good teas, you know, herbal teas and lots of water and lots of breathing, lots of good vibes, and you'll be stoked.
Yeah, I just want to say one more thing. You know, what Nick was saying, that, you know, how many of us would really survive, could really survive if you had to live on a little tiny small bag of this or that or the other thing. You know, what Michael is saying, he's just scaled down the one meal. I have to even remind myself to eat. Like, oh, you know, I haven't eaten all day. And one of the things that's happening is we're being fed by light now. We're being fed by energy. We're shifting our whole reality and our whole world and our whole consciousness from a physical, heavy, dense state to a light, ethereal state. And the more we can support ourselves in moving into that state by lightening our digestive burden and clean, eating more clean, fresh, pure foods, the more we can open to being fed in these other ways, being fed by, you know, I always find when I go to Hawaii, for example, I hardly need to eat much at all because I'm being fed by the air, which is so clean, and, you know, people used to just live off air. And the sun and the water, there's so many other things, you know, all of nature, I feel, is feeding me there. And we can all start to bring our awareness to what other ways can we be fed other than just physical food and intaking it with our mouths. Because there's all new ways of being fed that are opening up to the superheroes and those that are seeking these new incoming streams of light and energy, nutrients.
Yeah, and Dorothy's just said, you know, that's it. She has the fear of being hungry. That's what I need to deal with. Yeah, so just, you know, Dorothy, just enjoy the feeling of hunger, and like Taylor, enjoy those other kinds of nourishment. And being hungry is not, it's not a bad thing. It's nice because then you really appreciate food more, you know, and it really feels more of a nice, beautiful, enjoyable experience, you know. I mean, I don't think many people even know what hunger is anymore because there's constant nibbling away, you know.
Nibble, 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 isn't it, brother?
Nibble, 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 nibble. And of course, you know, like, we don't want to starve you guys and you freaking out and having drama, because when we are hungry, we can act in bizarre ways, you know. So you want to make sure you look sustained, but just be...
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with eating. And if you're in England and you like to get the mops on every now and again, even if the raw food police are due to arrive very shortly, it's always worth the risk, isn't it, bro?
That's right. Tea and muffins, chai and muffins, the best of it.
That's right, mate.
So just got one last question here from Pashi from Australia. She's saying, I like the Hebrew words yode wahe, as used in our breathing meditations, and prefer to use these in my meditations. I was wondering if the fact that Hebrew is not part of my neurology makes any difference to its efficiency. I'd appreciate your thoughts on this. Love and blessings, Pashi. Brother Nicholas, what is your opinion on that?
Good question. Well, let's see what those words are, you see. Let's see what that language is. Now, you see, it's a very interesting subject, this is, because when you're talking about yod, hey, rod, hey, you're talking about, you know, like a super code that somehow activates the DNA potential in a very peculiar way, in a very good, peculiar way. So the letters themselves, they're kind of made of burning fire. They're like flamey light letters of light. The Hebrew language, you see. And so it's like a portal. And I'd say you need to discover it, you know, like yourself. I think the writing, seeing them is a good thing. And it's a great thing to meditate on. Yod Hey Vod Hey. Gabriel Cousins, Dr. Gabriel Cousins, who you could say is the top medical doctor in the world, super switched on guy, he uses Yod Hey Vod Hey. He says that is the mega code. He's always giving out a little card with that on it and gives you a bit of drishti, you know, and just gives you some blessings and says, breathe this, yod, hey, vod, hey, breathe yod on the in-breath, hey on the out-breath, vod on the in-breath and hey on the out-breath, yod, hey, vod, hey, I am that I am, 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 I am that which I am becoming, I am that which I eternally am. I am that I am. And it's also the om, you know, that's what it is as well. So it's a great, mysteriously powerful thing. And I've definitely experimented a lot with it in my life and done loads of oms and thought about that. I think they call it the tetragrammatron as well. You know, everything is a code, the way the universe is built. It's a tremendous mystery, and the code is being released. And superhero training is, you know, we recommend you say, now I am that I am. The most hardcore manifestation thing, the one that goes with the cleaning, that I know in terms of a mantra, is... Say, for instance, you want $1 million tomorrow. You want it tomorrow delivering on your doorstep by UPS at 9 o'clock in the morning. Then the best way to make that happen is to stay up all day and all night cleaning
saying the mantra over and over and over to yourself. $1 million on the doorstep, now I am that I am. $1 million on the doorstep, now I am that I am. $1 million on the doorstep, now I am that I am. You see? That's how it works. That's how we recommend you say, now I am that I am in the Sun Pop program. That's the way to do it.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter where these words came from. It's the effect they have on us and what we translate them into meaning for us. You know, there's all sorts of Sanskrit words that we use that we didn't learn Sanskrit. We don't speak Sanskrit, but the meaning has a lot of meaning. The word karma is a Sanskrit word, and people use it all the time. You know, nishchay, man manabhav, Om Shanti, all these things, they're all Sanskrit words, and they're great. It's just owning it and having the feeling of it. That's what makes the difference. So yeah, practice that. Let's see how many of you get millions of dollars appearing on your doorstep if you do it properly. And unless there's any last questions, Brother Nick, would you like to lead us in a little prayer?
Yeah, thank you, bro, for giving me the honor. Very much appreciated.
Sorry, bro.
Lord, today, in the name of love, in the name of love, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, in the name of love, hallelujah. And let's just sing a few hallelujahs there. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah is another one of those magic words. They say it means praise Jah, but I like victory, you know, celebrating victory. Glory to God for victory. Thank God for the victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of love, hallelujah. In the name of love, we're giving so much thanks and appreciation to the Almighty, whose power is with us, and if God is with us, who can stand against us? And we're giving thanks to this great victory of goodness and truth in the world as we surrender ourselves to you by becoming more and more soul conscious, cleaning more, using very powerful mantras and saying, now I am that I am. In the name of love, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. May all the good that the superheroes can do in the world and will do forever and ever and ever, may all that good benefit all beings everywhere. In the name of love, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Throughout all space and time, may all beings everywhere be blessed with the fruits of our labors. In the name of love. Hallelujah, 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 in the name of love, hallelujah, in the name of love, hallelujah.
Thank you, bro, and forward to thank you, Taylor, as well, and thank you, everyone, for being here and being a superhero and really making a difference, and we look forward to sharing with you very, very soon.
Yay.
Yay. Hello.
Thanks, bro. Thanks, Taylor.
Thank you. Aloha.
Thank you. Aloha.
Hey, Taylor Cole.
Yes.